Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, I'm going to start moving us toward Easter in the Word. And I want to talk to you this morning from, it seems to be the last person converted before Jesus gave his life. You know, he preached and people gave their hearts and lives over to him before he died upon the cross. That's how powerful that the cross really was and the resurrection, in that it just pulled all of those who had been obedient to the Lord before the cross and all of us who have been obedient to the Lord after the cross. The cross made a difference. You know? All those sacrifices of the Old Testament would have had no worth at all were it not for the cross of Jesus. He made it all. He made it work. And I want to talk to you this morning about the last conversion. And you're familiar with this, so it's going to be an easy one. You can, you know, think about other things if you want to. I want to talk to you about Zacchaeus. But kind of something specific here. Actually, under the canopy of this, there is a place of dynamic spiritual encounter for each of us. There is a place of dynamic spiritual encounter for each of us. I got three that time. I'm going to try for number four. I said there is a place of dynamic spiritual encounter for each of us. And I believe not just one. In other words, God does not just have one blessing, one opportunity for an encounter with him. I believe that there are multiple encounters available to us in the Lord. You're going to be sitting in your easy chair this afternoon and go, amen, amen. It'll just catch you. The place here in this story was significant because it was Jericho. Jericho was the first city taken as Israel came and occupied the Holy Land or Judea. It was under a curse. If you remember, they marched around it, praised the Lord, and it fell down. The walls fell down, and they went in and took the city. And Joshua pronounced the curse that whoever would rebuild that city would do so at the cost of his firstborn. A man by the name of Hiel of Bethel rebuilt the city at the cost of his firstborn's life. There's actually two cities today in the archaeological digs. There's an Old Testament Jericho and a New Testament Jericho. But by Jesus' day, it was quite a thriving place because of the sale of balsam wood, for one thing, but also the fact that it was the retreat of Herod the Great. It's where he built his retreat. The time, again, was significant because it was just days before Jesus' appointment with the cross. And then the event itself was significant because, as I mentioned, this more than likely was the last person, he was the last person who was converted prior to Jesus going to the cross. Now, why is that important to us? Do you realize? We don't know when this is going to happen, but there will be somebody in some place on a given day who will be the last person to accept Jesus as their Savior before he comes back suddenly. Oh man, think about that. This sermon is not about witnessing and things, but just think, what if? Huh? What if that person that you witness to would be that last person who would seal their eternity before Jesus comes back? Wow! I don't, does anybody else get a wow out of that? I mean, to me, that is incredible. To think that someone would be that close to the sealing, if you will. That's S-E-A-L-I-N-G. Sealing of the salvation experience. And Jesus comes back. That's kind of the picture of Zacchaeus here, because Jesus was heading to that cross. He knew. He set his face toward Jerusalem, is what it said. And you could see his movements, because he stayed away from Jerusalem for a season in there. And even was on the other side of the Jordan and the other side of the Sea of Galilee among the Gadareans. And he ministered away from it. And then as the days began to approach, he moved closer and closer. Here in Jericho, he is about 10 to 15 miles away from Jerusalem. He is preparing to move closer. He will then, of course, next Sunday, we'll take him in the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and then he comes back out just a very short distance and then back into Jerusalem again and gives his life. And from there, heaven. Hallelujah. I hope that you have made that significant decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. This was an uncommon, common yet unusual place. Let's read together the story. It's found in Luke chapter 19, beginning verse number 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Would you help me pray? Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the incredible privilege that you give me of breaking open your word and, well, maybe looking at the finer points a little bit today. We are so incredibly dependent upon the moving of your Holy Spirit, because I realize that my words do not have the power to change a life or even to open up the doors of opportunity for a change. So today, Lord, I look to you and I pray that your Holy Spirit would move upon each and every person in this room, that we would recognize that a dynamic spiritual encounter still awaits us, Even if we have been saved for many years, even if we have been filled with your Holy Spirit, even if we have experienced many a blessing, there is still a truly dynamic encounter available to us. Help us today as we study your word, and may you make the difference that only you can make. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a place, a dynamic spiritual encounter for each of us. How many believe that this morning? I'm going to talk to you about the place. As I said, this is a common yet unusual place. In verse number 3, it says that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. I've experienced that. Times I've been in crowds seemed like everybody, women, men, children, everybody was taller than I was. It's a curse of shortness. So I understand that. The fact is that Zacchaeus moved toward a tree. The tree was large enough for Zacchaeus to climb in, so that speaks of its size, and that would also speak of its age. I don't know about you, but as I read the word, one of the ways that I kind of, find enjoyment in the word is that I start looking for the stuff between the lines. Not that I'm going to build a doctrine there. Not that I'm even going to preach to you about it, but that's where I find fascinating things as I let my imagination and the Spirit to kind of guide me as I read the Word, because there's so many pieces, so much of the color at times that is not written for us. Again, this was an old tree. That means it has been there for many years. How many get that? Old tree. Been there many years. Big enough to climb in, okay? There's a possibility that tree would have been there when he was a kid. And when Jesus was making his way down the road, it says through Jericho, so he wasn't stopping there. His original intention was moving through. So when he realized that, he wanted to see Jesus. Now again, we have to kind of turn our imagination on to think, okay, did he wanted to see what Jesus looked like? Or was there something inside of him that was growing and groaning for a spiritual encounter? I want to believe the latter. I think that with all of his wealth and with everything that he had, the power and all of that, that there was something inside of him that was still saying, there's more. And he heard that Jesus was coming and realized that he couldn't see over the crowd. So to me, I remember a tree. Now, I can relate to a tree from growing up. How many of you guys and gals can remember a tree growing up? Yeah. We had one right in the center of our very small front yard. And it was a massive maple tree. I know it was maple because it had those little whirly bird things that came down that I had to clean up. Oh, that's another. We were only about 150 feet from the corner of Post Road. And my friend Mike and I, we would be sitting down on the ground, and if a car turned that corner, we would immediately hurry up that tree to disappear, in our minds, to disappear. And so climbing that tree was a work of art. I still, in my mind's eye, can see that tree. I think Zacchaeus may have known that tree. He knew that it was a place, it was a tree. Up the road, it says he ran to it, so it had to be a bit of a distance away. He ran to that tree. Now, a tree would be kind of an unusual place for a grown man. Hello? right? So it was a common thing, probably, very possibly one that he had known from childhood. He knew where that tree was at. When he needed to get higher, he knew he could go to that tree and it would get him higher. And yet he is, though small in stature, still a grown man. He wouldn't have had his job if he wasn't over 30. More than likely, he was the chief tax collector, so he was perhaps in his 50s or maybe even older, considered to be an old man at that time. Can I tell you this morning, if you haven't already figured this out, that old men don't usually climb trees? And all the old men said, amen. At great cost, you will pay someone else to climb your tree if it needs to be climbed. Now, he was also a chief tax collector. That meant he had servants. That meant he had power. That meant that people were afraid of him. So more than likely, he could have dispatched his servants and said, make a hole, parted the crowd, and got the crowd to move out of the way so he could have moved to the front and been able to see Jesus. So then that causes another one of these things from my imagination to click into gear. Okay, if he could do that, then why did he run to a tree? I believe that it was because he had some kind of an urge inside of him to see Jesus, but he didn't necessarily want other people to know it. So you run around the outside of the crowd, down to a tree, up. Like I told you, when I was a kid, we would hurry up that tree so that the car, when it passed by, they couldn't see us. We went invisible. See, I think that that was Zacchaeus' plan. Again, he could have parted and went right up to the front of the line, stood there, maybe even, you know, got his servants to summon Jesus over. But he wanted to remain invisible. You know, one of the things that I've learned about a sanctuary like this is that some folks come into church by an urging of something that they cannot even identify. It's a common place. Everybody is welcome. And they make their way in, but at the same time, they want to stay invisible. Well, I'm not trying to nail anybody in saying this, but many times they will stay on the fringes. They will kind of be on the edge so they can slip out quickly if they need to. This is not, you know, a common place and yet an unusual place for them to be. I want you to realize this morning that those are often the places where we have an encounter with the Lord. Also, something else that we need to note here out of this, in verse number 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. It was a place of his choosing. And you know, that's an important thing as well. You know, it's not like that Jesus said, okay, everybody that wants to be blessed, I want you to line up here on my left-hand side. I can remember going to the revival down in Pensacola, Florida. And at the end of the service, they made the announcement, anybody who would like to be prayed for, if you would, please get in a line on the outside wall and face in. And so everybody that wanted to be prayed for, they lined the outside walls, and it was just about everybody. And then they would move around and pray for people. Jesus didn't operate like that. There was a curiosity that pulled Zacchaeus in. Zacchaeus. It caused him to climb a tree. On a given day, he may not have climbed trees for years. But on that day, there was something inside of him that was drawing him. Something was, be it curiosity or an inner longing, but there was something that was drawing him to see Jesus. What he was looking for from Jesus, there's a possibility he didn't even know. Maybe he wanted to see if Jesus would heal somebody on the way, or deliver somebody from a demon, or perhaps raise someone from the dead. You know, quite often, you know, they used to make a statement, they say, you know, get a fire going and people will come to watch it burn. That was in the house of the Lord. How many ever heard that? You know, what you want to do is you want to get a fire going and then people will come to watch it burn. And it really is true. I saw that in Pensacola, Florida, where people just stand in line for hours to come in and see what was going on. Some came with longing, some came just out of the curiosity to see what in the world would happen. That is the spiritual environment. Was it really his size that was hurting his access? Again, he was a man of power. He could have dispatched his servants and set an appointment with Jesus. He could have initiated that encounter with Jesus, but he wasn't there. He wasn't in that place. His was a place of his choosing. A tree, a sycamore fig tree on a road where Jesus was passing by. I want to tell you something this morning. If you haven't figured this out, you may have come into this house this morning because it is a common place. You may have come in because it's what you do on any given Sunday. And you're hoping that if Jesus comes by, you will be here to see what he does in someone else's life. Can I tell you this morning, it's in this common place, this place of our choosing, that the Lord Jesus can have a dynamic encounter with you. You see, Zacchaeus chose a tree, but God often allows us to choose the venue of our encounters with him. Now, I love the altars. Grew up with all the altars, coming to the altar. But I've also been blessed to have encounters with the Lord right in the seat where I was sitting. I've also been blessed to have an encounter with the Lord, hold on to your seat, in Walmart. Just been walking through in a common place in a regular time and yet hungering for an encounter with the Lord, and in the meat section, all of a sudden his presence just began to flow. People wonder when you do that, they wonder why tears are coming out of your eyes and flowing down your face. Oh, something's really wrong. No, something's really right. You see, here's the thing. He's willing, the Lord is willing to come to where we are in that place of even trying to be invisible. He will come and his Holy Spirit will begin to draw us and move upon us, that there is an encounter with him that awaits us. You see, Moses, if you remember, he chose the mountain where to graze his sheep. When he looked over, he saw a sight that was a common sight, and that was that a bush would catch on fire. What was uncommon about the whole scene was that the bush was not consumed. Read your Bible. He picked the place. He saw something that was a normal sight, but when he watched it, the bush was not consumed. And it said something to him. It says, this is not normal. And as he moved toward it, the Lord says, take off your shoes. The place where you're standing is holy ground. Oh, folks, if we would only realize that in these common places, just like this house, that the Lord will have a dynamic encounter with us. If we will open up our eyes and realize that He desires that encounter. Jacob, remember Jacob? I never understood this one, but he chose a rock to lay his head on. My pillow will be fine. He chose a rock, laid down, put his head on it, and went off to sleep, and thereby had an encounter with God. And when he woke up, he realized that he was in the place of God, in the place of God's choosing. And he called it Bethel, house of God. No, Jacob, actually, it was a rock in the dirt. It was a place you selected. But God saw a man who was open to receive from Him. A woman who is open to receive from Him can have an encounter with God in a common place, a place that they know so very well. If we will allow God, He will do it. You see, the place is not the priority. The desire leads to the encounter. When Jesus came on down that road, he called out to him. Listen to it. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Wow. I've never tried that. Does it work? Larry, I'm coming to your house for dinner today. Jesus did that. It wasn't about lodging. He said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He wasn't worried about his lodging. He was there marching through that city, and the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that dwells in us, was in him. Spirit of the Lord said, there's a man up a tree wanting to see who you are, who is ready for a dynamic spiritual encounter. You see, I believe that that same Spirit is in this house. In this common place that we frequent out of habit sometimes, the Lord is ready. And here's how it works. See, it works in the same way as it worked in Zacchaeus' life. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit that was in Jesus, called out to Zacchaeus in a tree. How did he know his name? Ever asked that question? Obviously, they had never had an encounter before because Zacchaeus went up a tree to see him. Obviously, they had not met before, and yet Jesus knew his name. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus knows your name. And his Holy Spirit can speak so softly, so gently inside you and says, he says, I want to meet with you today. He may even say, I want to go home with you today. I want to change your life today. I want to turn your world upside down today. Maybe you've served the Lord for many, many, many years. And yet you hear inside, the Lord says, I want to do a new thing in you. I'm going to do something that you have never seen, never known before in your life today. Get ready. I said, get ready. When the Spirit of the Lord calls you out in that way, get ready. Because He has something for you. You see, this was a place where opportunity met transformation. A place where opportunity met transformation. The opportunity that Zacchaeus had, Jesus was coming by. And he didn't realize it, but it was a place of transformation for his life. Jesus brought opportunity with him. And can I tell you, he still does. Some of you have been at this for many, many years, and you think, well, I've tasted, I've seen, I've experienced everything there is to experience. No, you haven't. You haven't even scratched the surface yet. The Lord has blessings. The Lord has power. The Lord has things that He can and will do in your life that you have never experienced before. It doesn't matter how many years that you've done, how many places you've served. Well, I've done this. Doesn't matter. He is able. He is willing. He is desiring to have a dynamic encounter with you this morning, something you've never experienced before. You see, here's one thing, though, that you need to understand. This, as many opportunities, was a passing chance that had to be seized upon. Jesus was passing that way. Zacchaeus climbed the tree to see Jesus, but not necessarily be seen of Jesus. So when Jesus called out, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I want to go to your house or stay at your house." He could have chosen at that moment to hide behind part of the tree. So nobody would do that. I've seen it over and over again in the sanctuary. The Holy Spirit's moving. You can see it written all over people's faces as God is moving inside of them. And you think, oh my Lord, you're getting ready to do something incredible in that person's life. And they start hiding behind other people. It's kind of like when you ask, hey, would somebody want to pray for us? And everybody looks at the floor. Let me hide behind this tree. It's kind of like this. You may be hiding from men, but you can't hide from the Lord. The opportunity is presenting itself. He's right there. He is desiring to have an encounter with you. Will it be a moment of transformation? Or will it be a moment of incredible regret? I wonder what. I wonder if I would have just stepped out, if I would have just said yes to the Lord, what was it that He wanted to do in my life on that day and that opportunity? You hear me this morning? A place where opportunity meets transformation is a passing moment. To the ache of my heart, I have watched individuals that I knew that the Spirit of the Lord was moving upon them. He wanted to do something significant in their life in a church service. And He wanted to minister to them and to watch them stand up and walk out the back door away from that drawing of the Spirit of God. In the flesh, I want to just stop everything and run after them and grab them and turn them around and go, oh no, God is moving. God is here. You can have an encounter with Him like you've never experienced before. Because they're wanting to get out to a roast or whatever, they walk on out the doors. Folk, you need to understand this about the encounters with the Lord. They're timely. He will come into our common places and make them incredible places. He will move and minister and call you by name from within. But that still rests with us. The power of transformation still rests with us. We've got to be willing to say yes to the Lord. Zacchaeus, you know the story, came down, took Jesus to his house. They started yelling and making accusations against Jesus because he had gone with this arch sinner. That had to just make it more real for Zacchaeus. I think sometimes we as long-term Christians, we're ashamed to get up and walk an aisle and come down to an altar of encounter when the Holy Spirit is drawing us, because we'll be concerned that somebody might think that we're having to go down there and confess our sins. Oh, how horrible is that? We let pride, in other words, keep us from leaving the tree and from having an opportunity. Here, you know, there's a strange thing. You know, when you let those times go by where the Spirit of the Lord is drawing, and you let the times go by because you're too busy, or you've got other things, or you've got too much pride, or whatever it is, and you let them go by, well, you know, then when Jesus passes by again and he calls to you, it's even harder to leave the tree. I want you to understand that. The more times that you turn away from the voice of the Spirit trying to draw you into a dynamic encounter with him, the harder it is to come down out of the tree and take Jesus home with you. Church, we need to realize this morning, Jesus is passing this way. He's here. He's desiring to have a spiritual encounter with some of you in this room. You know who you are, because the Spirit of the Lord is already dealing with you. Maybe calling you by name, maybe just talking to you, that this could be your day of transformation. Some of you have been letting your love, like the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation, you've let the love that you have for the Lord grow cold. You've let the busyness of life grow in. Oh yes, you keep coming to this common place. It's what you do. But it's been a while since you had a real encounter with Jesus. And this morning, his Holy Spirit is saying, come on home. Come on. Now's the time. Let me transform your life. You see, Zacchaeus' transformation was confirmed by his actions. Right? Half of everything I give to the poor, if I've wronged anyone, I will repay them. And then some. For a man who made his living with money, and in whom money was everything, that was saying something. He had just gone to the very depth of his being and being transformed. I'm going to conclude with this. I read about a cliff in England. If you've seen any pictures or anything, you know that along the shorelines there are huge cliffs. And there are some individuals who make their living retrieving the eggs of the birds that live on those cliffs. This is such a common thing that they actually put a rope out over the edge of that cliff and hanging down, suspended down, out a few feet from the cliff, and those that pluck these things put a bag over their shoulder and they go down this rope and then they swing into the cliff and stop on one of these ledges and pick up the eggs, put them in there, and then they climb back up. Well, on this one given day, one of these egg catchers, egg collectors, he goes down there, but in his absent-mindedness, he let go of the rope. You had to keep hold of the rope when you went in so that you could take it and swing back out and then climb back up. The rope was out of reach. And then he's faced with a dilemma. He's stuck on the side of a cliff. The rope is out beyond his reach. What is he going to do? He finally decides, if I stay here, I'm going to die. So I might as well jump for it. That's what he did. He took a leap of faith, grabbed the rope, made his way back up to the top. I know this morning that when I'm saying to you that there is an encounter with the Lord that awaits those who will say yes to his drawing, that it's something that is out there beyond your reach, because that encounter belongs to the Lord. But he has come into this common place, found you in your tree. Maybe you are here this morning, you just wanted to see what went on in here. Maybe you just wanted to, you're here because somebody else invited you, but the Holy Spirit of God is reaching inside of you and saying, there's more. I want to do something in your life. I want to transform you. I want to go home with you. Can I tell you this morning, just a little leap of faith will bring you to that place of encounter with the Lord. Would you all stand with me, please? I want to extend an invitation this morning. Just the keys, please. I want to extend an invitation to you this morning. You know who you are. The Holy Spirit is speaking inside of you, calling your name. If you were Zacchaeus, he'd be saying Zacchaeus, but I don't think we have any Zacchaeuses in here, do we? So it'd probably be your name. You know. If you've been getting so busy and forgetting that the Lord is the most important person in your whole life, you've been putting distance between you and him, could be that his spirit is saying to you, come, jump for it. Give me a chance. Let me change your life. If you're in this house this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you may have heard the appeal so many times that it's grown custom in you, but something today is drawing inside of you and saying, today your life can be changed. I want to invite you, jump for the rope. Jump for the encounter. Come down out of the tree. If the Spirit of the Lord is calling you, that means he has something for you today. Pastor Bill can't do it. Oh, I can lay my hand on you and I can pray for you, and we'll do that in obedience. But what really matters is that the Spirit of the Lord is calling inside of you today. And if you'll come down out of the tree, he'll transform your life. I just want to invite you to just step out from wherever you're at and respond by finding a place at this altar. Say, well, I'm not really comfortable about coming up there where other people are at. That's fine. Then why not just turn around there and kneel at your seat? You see, he's here. Respond to his call, and the Lord will do something significant in your life. Will you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father in heaven, now, Lord, this is between you and each individual. I've been obedient to you to share with you this story of one last encounter before you went to the cross, Lord Jesus. But I realize that the lessons of this story are still true today. We're in a common place at a common time. But your Spirit is calling us to leave the tree so you can have an encounter with us today. I pray that nothing would hold us back. There's still plenty of time. We can leave here in a good time. We've only been together for an hour, Lord, so time can't be the factor. But I pray right now that you would just draw those who, Lord, you're speaking to, that you would draw them to this place of encounter. Help us to take that step of faith. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I'd like every caring Christian to just be praying right now. And let's pray against the forces of the enemy that would keep these from having the encounter that the Lord wants to have with them today. Jesus is here. He's passing by. This moment may never come again in some life. Come on, Christians. Let us take hold, take authority in this room. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Lord, I can't help but wonder. Your word says that Zacchaeus came down immediately out of the tree, but I wonder how long you would have waited on him. Always something that is a curiosity to me of how long do we wait for someone to say yes to a transformation in you. I pray over those that are going to walk out the back door, leaving behind the drawing of your Spirit. Help us to realize today is the day of an encounter with you. You're here, you're calling, you want to minister. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray against pride right now that would keep a believer who knows that you are calling. Pride is keeping them from coming to receive what you have for them. Praise your name. Praise your name.